Hello and welcome to Last Week in AWS. I'm Corey Quinn. This week is going to have me in Las Vegas for Google Cloud Next. If you're around, please say hi. Tomorrow night, also known as Tuesday, I'll be at Atomic Liquors at 7 p.m. Please come by, say hello, let me buy you something to drink. Now, what did AWS get up to last week? Let's dive in. Amazon GuardDuty EC2 runtime monitoring is now generally available, which feels like a giant step backward to me. It needs an agent to be installed in the instance, and it charges a very 1990s era $1.50 per vCPU. If I wanted to do per-core licensing math, I'd probably be an Oracle customer. This episode is sponsored in part by my day job, the Duckbill Group. Do you have a horrifying AWS bill? That can mean a lot of things. Predicting what it's going to be, determining what it should be, negotiating your next long-term contract with AWS, or just figuring out why it increasingly resembles a phone number, but nobody seems to quite know why that is. To learn more, visit duckbillgroup.com. Remember, you can't duck the Duckbill bill. And my CEO informs me that is absolutely not our slogan. Amazon SageMaker Canvas announces new pricing for training tabular models. Okay, the announcement states, for example, a quick build model with 16 megabytes of data with about 3 million cells can now be as low as under $2. And a standard build model, which runs a comprehensive AutoML experiment, might use 2 ML.C5.18x large instance hours and still cost you only $7.30. You forgot that $1.90 an hour session charge for using SageMaker Canvas for those 2 hours. And these people still owe me $260. Introducing AWS Code Connections, formerly known as AWS Code Star Connections, a rare glimpse into something AWS has little practice at while Google leads the world, deprecating a service people depend upon. All of Code Star will be deprecated at the end of July. Amazon CloudWatch now supports cross-account anomaly detection. Honestly, something in CloudWatch easily working cross-account is the real anomaly. More like this, please. Amazon EKS extended support for Kubernetes versions now generally available. This is less a feature and more of a billing update. Keep current or pay 6 times more per cluster control plane. This is on balance good for the internet, but it's really going to catch some customers by complete surprise. Yes, Virginia, you really do have to update your infrastructure at least once a year. Announcing AWS Deadline Cloud. What's interesting to me about this is that it goes very well with Amazon's Nimble Studio offering, which is a managed service for visual content creation, but none of the blog posts talking about Deadline Cloud mention it at all. What am I missing here? AWS Console mobile application adds support for CloudWatch custom dashboards. I'd give a lot for there to be a reasonable way to log into the mobile app without having to go through the SSO back and forth dance every time I want to check something. The only option I can see that does this is permanent IAM keys, but that's scary stuff. AWS Lambda adds support for Ruby 3.3. I was under the impression that Ruby users were left to largely fend for themselves in put it in a container yourself land, but nope, the runtime has been updated. Announcing general availability of Amazon EC2 G6 instances. That's right, like a G6. Have fun with that one. Announcing per second billing for EC2 Red Hat Enterprise Linux RHEL based instances. EC2 rolled out per second billing effective on October 7th of 2017. 6.5 years behind current feels about right for Red Hat post IBM. Here at the Duckbill Group, one of the things we do with, you know, my day job is we help negotiate AWS contracts. We just recently crossed $5 billion of contract value negotiated. It solves for fun problems, such as how do you know that your contract that you have with AWS is the best deal you can get? How do you know you're not leaving money on the table? How do you know that you're not doing what I do on this podcast and on Twitter constantly and sticking your foot in your mouth? To learn more, come chat at duckbillgroup.com. Optionally, I will also do podcast voice when we talk about it. Again, that's duckbillgroup.com. Why AWS supports Valkey. AWS really can't win because they're in no way sympathetic and will have their motives for sponsoring an open source fork of Redis intensely questioned, but they're doing all the right things here. AWS Activate credits now accepted for third-party models on Amazon Bedrock. AWS says, we're happy to announce that your Activate credits can now be wasted on third-party models on Amazon Bedrock, because what startups really need is a convoluted way to burn free credits on marginally useful pre-baked machine learning models. Strap in and enjoy your journey of overcomplicating simple processes. Now, that whole statement was created by GPT-4, which isn't in Bedrock. Now, as a human, my observation is a lot more snappy. Bedrock's third-party models can be used for free now because they suck. And finally, DoorDash saves millions annually using Amazon S3 Storage Lens. I reiterate that S3 Storage Lens is awesome. Unfortunately, that's largely because without it, observability into your S3 usage remains abysmal. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm Corey Quinn. Please stay salty.